Commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you have a call in for today's guest, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, I have State Senator Click Bishop in the studio with me here. How are you doing, sir?
Excellent, David. Good morning.
You know, I pulled up outside and I see this Ford F-350, and you're looking for something.
Piece of paper.
Oh.
Just a little scratch pad. I forgot my notepad in my truck. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, I pull up and I see a Ford F-350 diesel, and I say, I got a miner out front. How's your mining operations going when you're not being a senator?
It's going good. Our exploration side is where I've really been putting the focus for last season on another property we have, and it's going great. And I just like to say that it's six. There's two channels that come in really good at the creek, and it's 660 KFAR and KJMP, and then actually 630 in Nenana is another great station. But I really have to say that I'm tickled at lunch. Sometimes I'm in the truck if it's raining and wanting to dry up a little bit and listening to you guys. And I really love the history with Joni and those podcasts that you guys have done. And it's Alaska.
Out of all the days, Wednesday is everyone's favorite with this, the history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my favorite, too, and what I learn and get to go through. I take it as an honor, the respectful, presenting Fairbanks for Alaska's history.
Right.
And just it's a lot of fun. But as a miner, you're bringing that experience with you. Operator, it was fun talking with you yesterday. I asked you, where were you on June 21st, 1977, when they turned on the Alaska pipeline? Where were you, Senator Bishop?
I was in the pipe yard right here in Fairbanks, where it's now many different malls. But I was over there rig oiling for a guy by the name of Ernie Miller, and we were loading equipment out on flatbed rail cars, going to Moses Lake, Washington for auction. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, interesting side note on that. It was after lunch, and my superintendent drove up, and he says, tell Ernie the next time you guys go to coffee, he says, I just got word that you guys were going to be here for the next 3 years, because the first load of gas line pipe is going to come in here to the pipe yard, and we're going to be unloading gas line pipe in 6 months. And I says, oh man, that's fantastic, but I think we're all still waiting for the first load of gas pipe.
Senator Bishop, I was at Pump Station 1, and they were saying the same thing. Don't worry, we'll all be back in 6 months to build the gas line.
Right.
That was 1977.
Right.
And so I was looking and saying, maybe one day, hopefully. But, your focus has always been, or I shouldn't say always been, but is really dialed into energy for Fairbanks.
Correct.
And you've put on a couple presentations that look at our 28 cents per kilowatt hour and how to reduce it, and the factors that must be involved in reducing it.
Excellent. Yes. Just speaking on, that gas line comment I just made, and you and I both talked about, and from 50 years ago, and And I mentioned this yesterday in a talk I gave over to the chamber on energy. And this report was written in June 30th. It was completed and sent to the Alaska Development Board when we were still a territory.
June 30th of what year?
1954, right? And the report says the use of natural gas is a source of heat and power for the rail belt of Alaska, bringing commercial gas development from the Gubik gas field, written by James Dalton.
So, and what, I'm going to ask a personal question about what year were you born in?
57.
Okay.
So, then I thought I really had the ace in the hole, and then I was given another newspaper clip from 1919 in the Fairbanks News Miner yesterday at that same meeting from another gentleman from Linden, mm-hmm. that talked about
Ken,
yep. that talked about a 1919 article, and he gave it to me, and I have it, about the need for cheap energy in Fairbanks in 1919.
You know, it seems like the stars are trying to align, mm-hmm. you know, with your leadership and direction. Hopefully it can. Getting a complete intertie complete from basically Homer to Fairbanks.
Right, right. It's, you know, it's like I tell everybody, I mean, I'm, you know, when I first ran for office, you know, I got to go back in time a little bit. You know, this presentation I made yesterday, and it's on my whiteboard in my office in Juneau, none of those ideas are mine,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just that I'm tired of talking about them. Some of them as far back as 1955 of what we should do to lower the cost of energy in the rail belt, right? And I want to make a side note there for our listeners that might be out in the bush listening. Well, what are you doing for me in the bush? Well, when the PCE rates, power cost equalization rates, are benchmarked against the rail belt utility rates. So when you lower the rail belt rates, you're also lowering rates in
rural Alaska.
So notwithstanding that Alaska Energy Authority, we have a whole cadre of projects in rural Alaska that mm-hmm. will help lower the cost of energy, but the common factor that's slowing down the process from those projects going forward is cash flow. So rail belt is, you know, I really push Sioux Sitna. I'm still a big believer in Sioux Sitna. I'm a big believer in an energy mix.
Yes.
Right? Coal, hydro, geothermal, nuclear, wind. So all of it, right? You got to have a mix, but you still got to have your base load. You have to have your spending reserves for these renewables, what I call your solar, your wind, et cetera, et cetera. You still got to have your spending reserves because that's set by the RCA. But, you know, right now, you know, I said, what did I say yesterday? I think my electric bill for the month of December was $280. And when I was in, you know, we're 26, 28 cents a kilowatt hour here in Fairbanks. And I was in Idaho National Lab 2 years ago with part of the governor's team, Curtis Thayer and his group from AEA, Gwen Holman and part of her shop from the university, and myself and Senator Hoffman and Senator Olson. And when we got back from the tour of the lab, and that's where they go out and approve and test run these small micro modular reactors that's starting to be the talk of the town, is in the Idaho National Lab. That's where they test these. And so we got back into the classroom, and I asked this professor, well, what do you pay for your kilowatt an hour in Idaho Falls? And he says, I can't tell you. And I said, you just answered my question.
Doesn't matter to him. Yeah. It's a factor.
It's so cheap, you don't care. And it wasn't, now 5 minutes later, one of his staff comes in and says, gives him a note, it was 6 cents a kilowatt hour.
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on KFAI Radio, and your name is?
My name's Bill. I'm wondering if Senator Bishop could comment on the Alaska Museum's policy of giving free admittance to Native people.
Is that the Alaska or the Anchorage Museum?
It's the Anchorage Museum, I guess.
Okay.
The rationale was apparently that it was built on what were historically Kluta Native land, and that also it was there were Native artifacts or objects that were in the museum. Thus, any self-declared Alaska Native was allowed to go in free instead of paying the normal entry fee. It's kind of curious. They say that it's there's no identity check as to whether or not they've got tribal identification. So apparently anybody can go in and say they're Alaska Native and go in for free. But I was wondering what Senator Bishop's thoughts were on this, and I'd like to hang on to listen to his response.
Okay. I'm going to hang up on you, because after his response, we're going to go to a commercial. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Hey, Bill, thanks for the question. I've just read the headlines. I haven't really dove into the, you know, the whole article. Obviously, you have, because you had a very good comprehensive question. To, you know, for me, to the short answer, that's Anchorage's business, what they do down there. I'm up here from Fairbanks, and I think I would just leave it at that.
Okay. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine provides the highest quality of orthopedic surgical and non-surgical care for patients. From elite athletes to weekend warriors, pediatric care, or young athletic adults to aging athletes that don't want to slow down, all patients benefit from McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine's expertise. The goal is to get you back in the game, whether that means sport, work, or simply everyday life. The entire staff is dedicated to serving patients in a professional, efficient, and compassionate manner. McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine on Geist Road, just off of University Avenue.
Did you miss your favorite local show on KFAR Radio? Just log on to our website, kfarradio.com, and click the Archives tab to find all past episodes of shows like Problem Corner, Health Talk, Fairbanks Foodies, Alaska Realty Today, Shooter's Corner, and the Compos Outdoor Show. Hours of entertaining, informative, local programs produced exclusively for KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Online at kfarradio.com. We are KFAR, the heartbeats of Alaska. KFAR weather.
Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching one above. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 27 below. Highs level off around 15 below tomorrow. Mainly clear. Teens below zero Friday. Single digits below zero Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Senator Click Bishop in the studio with me. Senator, I got a phone call. We're going to go real fast. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Bill again. I'm wondering, is Mr. Senator Bishop, he's a senator. He doesn't represent just his own area. He's supposed to represent the whole of the state, as I understand it. This action by the Anchorage Museum seems to be in violation of state laws, and also it's a nonprofit that runs it, but in a sense they receive subsidies in that people can get tax breaks and whatnot by donating to the entity. And I'm curious as to, I know it's in Anchorage, but this is something that affects everybody in the state if they go to Anchorage and want to go to that museum. And if they're not the right race, they're not they're penalized. Does he have any comment on this racial discrimination?
Thank you for the phone call.
Thanks, Bill, for the question. I tell you what, I'd like for you to email my office, because I have not got one email from any of my Senate colleagues or House colleagues in Anchorage on this issue. But tomorrow, I'm going to be with my Senate colleagues for an all-day meeting on Friday. We're going to start tomorrow night, and I'll pose the question to them like you posed it to me, and I'd like to see what they've got to say about it, and then I'll email you my response.
And your email address is?
clickbishop.sen.gov.
Clickbishop, C-L-I-C-K-B-I-S-H-O-P.
Yeah.
Dot S-E-N at
Alaska.gov.
Alaska.gov. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Or just look up under the legislature. Yeah. You know, it's pretty easy to find.
Right.
And that's what I like about our state. You can have direct communications one way or another with any elected representative, be it whether, you know, local or state or federal. So.
Yeah.
You know. Now, going back, you started bringing up the Susitna.
Right.
And you brought up a cost per kilowatt hour at 6 cents a kilowatt hour yesterday.
Right. So 1984, you know, the price of oil went south again, and the production was declining, and lawmakers were concerned how we were going to be able to pay a dividend and meet state expenses. And so they closed the door again on Susitna, and there was a 50-man camp there that I was part of, a crew that took that 50-man camp out of Susitna off of Devil's Canyon, and we cat-trained it to the Denali Highway and hauled it to Homer for the Bradley Lake Project. So, and that's, I think Bradley Lake's has the capacity to do 120 megawatts if they have the water, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But if we would have built and not walked away from Susitna in 1984, today, off the dam face, that power would have been 6 cents a kilowatt. And here's something that we're really working on right now, and I've been talking about it for a couple of years, and not only me but others, but it's finally getting synergy and coming together, and that is our intertie. Our intertie needs to be upgraded. Right now, all the bonds and debt is paid off on Bradley Lake, and Bradley Lake's your cheapest power in the rail belt right now. It's 4 cents a kilowatt off the dam face. But each utility owns a chunk of that intertie. So they have what's called pancaking of rates, right, from one utility to the next, to the next, to the next, all the way. And we're here at the
end.
At the end of the line, right? So one thing to lower the rates is a consolidation of the intertie owned by a transco or a transmission system operator. And people, you know, I was asked, I think yesterday, well, what's the other utilities feel about that? And I said, well, there's alignment now, right? This has been talked about for a number of years, but there's finally alignment. And so the four utilities, myself and about nine other lawmakers, plus the Gwen Holdman shop at the Alaska Center for Energy and Power at the university, put this trip together. We went to Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
Because 30 years ago, Iceland had a fractured, what I call a fractured transmission system like ours, right? It was owned by different utilities around the island. And they had expensive utility rates. So they're looking for a way to lower the utility rates, and they go, okay, we need to do this one system operator. And it wasn't easy. It was a several-year process, but they got it done. And today, Iceland, you know, for commercial power is under 2 cents a kilowatt. That's why you've got three big smelters there in Iceland, and they bring raw material all the way from South America, bauxite to refine into aluminum. And the residential rates in Iceland are 7 cents a kilowatt. You know, and everybody thinks, oh, you know, there's something on a volcano, it's all geothermal power. It's partly geothermal. That's not the case. 75% of the power in Iceland is hydroelectricity. It's hydropower. 25% is geothermal. So we toured both the hydro facilities and the geothermal facilities. So there's going to be none of these ideas are mine. It's just finally I've been shining a light on this, trying to bring synergy, right, mm-hmm. to get here. And the governor and I have talked about this plan numerous times. And so this spring, he formed a working group, the Alaska Energy Security Task Force. And AEA has applied for a what's called a GRIP grant under the IGA funding. And that's that Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act bill that was passed 3 years ago, almost now today. And there's federal money in there, grant money, right, for Intertie build-out. But that Intertie build-out has a one-to-one match. So AEA applied for the IGA funding for the first phase to build out the Intertie upgrade from Homer to Anchorage. And that's going to be a undersea portion, and it's going to come out on land in Anchorage. And now that gives South Central redundancy, if you will. You know, you got the Intertie up the Sterling Highway and Seward Highway to Anchorage, and then you'll have this undersea portion that comes on land. Now we've got redundancy. In the our rail belt needs to be upgraded, our Intertie, all the way to Healy, because we need to do an upgrade at Bradley Lake with the Dixon diversion, because then if we do that Dixon diversion,
you're going to put more water in the lake.
We can put more water in the lake and fully and finally realize the full potential of that hydro project. The only thing limiting us now is just we don't have enough water, so it's not operating at 100% capacity. But you have to upgrade your line to deliver the electricity, or it's for naught, you know. So
so this legislative session you'll be working on?
This session we'll be working on, hopefully the governor's going to have a bill that they're going to drop the administration on to put the Transco together. And, you know, I would think, you know, the optimum individual to run this is AEA, mm-hmm. and it would come under AEA's jurisdiction for the distribution of that power, because they're already managing Bradley Lake.
Yeah.
Right? And so they've got the model. The next thing that's going to be central to this legislative session is this piece of legislation to collapse the rail belt under one system operator on the transmission. The second thing is the $206 million match in this year's capital budget to match the federal money, right, the GRIP mm-hmm. grant. And ballpark estimates, and they're not totally firm here, so but it'll give you a feel for where we're at. To do the Intertie upgrade is to Healy is about $1.5 billion, and the Dixon diversion's about $500 million to bring a 4 mile tunnel to bring water from another lake.
Okay.
So that's the two biggies, is the legislation to create the Transco and the push to get enough people to get 2111 plus one for the 206 match.
Okay. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. I've got some, Melissa's back, so I got some good Stevie Ray Vaughan Crossfire bumper music for you. Then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Lawyer Abe Lowell saying that President Joe Biden has nothing to do with his son's alleged wrongdoing.
Hunter Biden was and is a private citizen. But despite this, Republicans have sought to use him as a surrogate to attack his father.
Well, Hunter and his attorney made a surprise appearance at a House Oversight Committee hearing today as the committee debates a resolution to hold Hunter in contempt of Congress. He defied a subpoena to testify behind closed doors last month. His legal team says he would only testify in public. House Republicans also beginning their impeachment hearings into DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Homeland Security Committee Chair Mark Green says Mayorkas is responsible for a crisis at the southern border.
Our evidence makes it clear. Secretary Mayorkas is the architect of the devastation that we have witnessed for nearly 3 years.
Attorneys general from three states are testifying before this committee. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that Alaska Renewables, a Fairbanks-based company focused on wind energy production, is looking to explore an area near the Chattanooga River to see if it would be viable for a future wind farm. It's very early stage, Alaska Renewables CEO Matt Perkins said. We're still reviewing the opportunity and gathering data. The company filed an application with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources in 2023 and is awaiting a decision from DNR, Perkins said. The proposed project would involve six meteorological monitoring stations spread out across an area located about 40 miles northeast of Fairbanks, according to Alaska Renewables' land use permit application. The monitoring stations, which are between 50 and 110 meters high, may be visible from the McKay Creek Trail. Perkins noted that since the proposed project is still in its early stages, Alaska Renewables is putting more focus on more advanced wind projects in the area, specifically the Shovel Creek Wind Project located near Murphy Dome.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
You know that the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center prides itself in having the best qualified professional and licensed audiologists in the state. They're proud to announce the addition of Dr. Alexandria Jackson to their team. Dr. Jackson hails from Texas and is passionate about helping patients with hearing and balance dysfunction challenges, and she specializes in diagnosis of both adult and pediatric patients. She joins the experts and medical professionals at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center, where they can help you with your hearing loss. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
When friends and family gather, it's time to lift each other up with delicious food and beverage from Tommy G's Meat and Sausage. All their beef is certified Angus beef, making it truly the best of the best. They pride themselves on superior quality, service, and consistency. Whether it's their cowboy cut ribeyes, lamb shanks, or even their ground chuck, you know you're getting the very best in Alaska because there is no other place like this in Alaska. Stop by Tommy G's Meat and Sausage today, 3290 Pegger Road. It's no longer dinner with friends and family. It's an experience.
Dearest Mother, I recently went to Brewster's and had a great meal. I was suspicious because of the many honorable things people had told me, but Brewster's lived up to the hurrah. I was sat at a table quickly and the service outstanding. The half-pound burger was cooked to perfection and the bun was soft and fresh. They also had delicious fried potato strings they called French fries. They were cooked marvelously and salted just right. Everything was just absolutely beautiful at Brewster's. I will be back as soon as I can. Your beloved son, Henry.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We are live in the studio here with Senator Clint Bishop. You traveled down to Anchorage this afternoon.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to head out to the airport about 3 o'clock and catch a 4 o'clock something flight to Anchorage, and I've got to speak at the RDC breakfast tomorrow, Resource Development Council, and then tomorrow evening we're going to start getting together with the Senate majority and I call it recommitting our vows for what's this next session. Yeah,
it's interesting, Senator. I take a look at you and I say to myself, okay, here's a person who doesn't have to do this. You have a mind.
Right.
And you you have a wonderful wife,
mm-hmm.
kids, grandkids.
Right.
A minor.
Right.
Retired 302.
Right.
Retired commissioner of labor.
Right.
So you're in this not for any self-gratification. You're in this for the state of Alaska.
Yeah. Here's the thing, this cheap energy, we've got to get on board and get the bit in the mouth, and we got to keep it in our mouth till we get at least this phase one done on the rail belt, and eventually go to phase two. But and here's why, and you led into it, and I'll get to that, is for 10 years, from 2012 to 2022, our gross domestic product is going the wrong direction. It's going towards the basement, right?
Yeah.
10 years in a row, we've had over 8,800 people move out of the state a year. And the demographic that's leaving this state, there's our best and brightest and our most productive working age group of Alaskans. And the fastest growing demographic
is us,
right? It's our age group. And just like Iceland, if we can get, and it's just like it says, I'm reading a 1954 report, and if you read this report that James Dalton wrote, and all the same arguments for building and bringing fuel off the North Slope in the form of gas to lower the energy rates here in the state, it's the same talking points. It's 75, damn near 70 years ago.
Is there a street named after that gentleman?
Well, there's a highway. starts at Live and Good and goes all the way to Dead Horse. So, yeah.
That's a big street.
Yep, and what a family, right? Libby and George and I went to school together, and we still communicate from time to time. George and I were both the operating engineers. So, mm-hmm. quite a history with that family.
Oh, and... Yeah, and Mike.
Oh yeah, there's the
matriarch of matriarchs.
There's the legend right there.
Yeah, the matriarch of matriarchs.
Right.
And, fantastic lady.
Right.
But leadership isn't I'm thinking of this and implementing it. Good leadership takes a look at the past of the ideas and then implements it, like you're trying to do.
Right. Right, absolutely, and we need to build on this synergy that we've got going forward right now, and stay on it, because it's our survival here in this state, I'll give you another example. Anchorage, was the third largest cargo hub in the planet,
mm-hmm.
and. Like it or not, the world is changing on fuel sources, right? And today, right now, and technology changes fast, but green hydrogen is being looked at real hard as a fuel source for jet aircraft. And you need two things to make green hydrogen: water and cheap energy, mm-hmm. right? And Anchorage has lots of water. Their energy rates are lower than ours, but we want it lower yet, right? Don't you want to maintain our status in the world as the third largest or maybe the second busiest cargo hub on the planet?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should be striving for, right? So we've to keep our standing on the global stage is cheap energy. So. that's another reason why we need to have cheap energy. They will come if you got cheap energy. Not my quote. I'm quoting James Dalton from 1954, right? But I've said the same thing. So seems like there's nothing new under the sun, is it, Dave?
No. And also, you're going to go down there and you're going to have the budget fight. And
right.
It's whatever's to be will be. Right. Simple as that.
Yeah, we...
It takes, 21, 11, and 1 to
right.
agree.
Right. And, at the end of the day, that's the only thing we have to pass. But, the governor had a couple of good bills I'm supportive of, and that was his below-ground bill and his above-ground bill on carbon sequestration. Carbon credits are the talk of the town, so mm-hmm. to speak, and with the people being able to purchase carbon credits, so he introduced two bills for sequestration credits, and one is the above ground bill. That's your trees, right, in your forest, and people buy these credits. So what I did was we passed that bill, and I ran an amendment with the support of three or four of my other colleagues at the finance table to set aside, I think it was 25% of that monies received from those credits that goes into the Alaska Energy Fund, right?
Yeah.
To help fund these projects that I just told you about.
You're reinvesting.
Reinvesting in Alaska. So the next bill we have is the governor's bill. It's not our bill, it's in resources. We're going to pick that bill up. We've heard it several times late last fall, last session, and we're going to bring it up at the first part of our session, and that's the carbon capture underground storage bill. It's called a CCUS for short. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you got to have reservoir space, and we've got lots of good reservoir space in Cook Inlet, right, to where you could, and to me, that I think that's where the big money is in this underground storage of carbon. I know when ExxonMobil is spending $11 billion on carbon sequestration and underground pore space in Texas, it's a real thing.
Eye-opener. It's an eye-opener.
It's a real thing. So I was just attended a meeting in Bismarck, North Dakota. Somebody says, "Where are you going?" I said, "To Bismarck, North Dakota." And they said, "It's winter in Bismarck, North Dakota." I said, "Yeah, yeah."
I think I said that.
Yeah.
And sorry.
So why do I bring that up? I said, because Kevin Connor's group with PCOR, and that's made up of industry and the University of North Dakota, and actually University of Alaska is also part of that PCOR group. And they pioneered CCUS, underground storage and sequestration. The university there and his shop there, Kevin's shop, was the first entity to get a Class 6 injection well certification through the EPA. And North Dakota has six CCUS projects in the state where they're storing carbon underground, and they're the next big project to come to fruition. It will be a 24-inch diameter pipeline from Minnesota to North Dakota to store carbon in their pore space in North Dakota.
So as a leader, you saw something that can help Alaska, mm-hmm. and you're going to the place that did it.
Right, and that's what I brought up last year to our DNR people. I said, instead of reinventing the wheel, we should be looking at and going back and working with PCOR there in North Dakota. So we went down there and had and DNR took the advice and took the lead, and we went back there and had a good 2.5 day overview on how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the interesting takeaway for me on that whole meeting was two things, and you're going to find this interesting, is when North Dakota was looking to go down this pathway, and they're working with EPA to get this Class 6 injection well certification, it was the same time that our federal government, EPA, came into the 40 Mile Mining District, right?
Oh, boy, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, with the guns drawn.
With guns drawn.
Black helicopters.
Black helicopters, yeah. The whole
after the miners. The small mining families.
Right, mom and pop, right?
Yeah.
And
oh, God.
So the gentleman that wrote the plan for the EPA's approval, and I about fell out of my chair when I heard this, and I had him reiterate it, is we were listening to what was going on in Alaska with the EPA, and we wrote into our agreement with EPA, the EPA, if they come into North Dakota and want to inspect a Class 6 injection well, they have to notify the governor of North Dakota 24 hours before inspection. And I thought, man, that's brilliant. That is great. He says, we didn't want to be going down the same pathway that Alaska went down.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Ask for 48 hours because of our distances where you might have to go to and climate and everything like that.
That's a good point.
Just a thought.
So anyway, I said, well, fax that or email that verbiage to our DNR and our commissioners. DNR was sitting right over there. And the second thing was there's a, you know, I'm a big fan of coal. You know, you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket on energy.
No.
Right? Because you never know what's going to happen with in your energy mix, right? And I was listening to a presentation by a group that's promoting a coal project in South Central and it's an abated coal project, abated meaning putting the carbon underground, and that's up there off in the Mat-Su Valley. And so the gentleman made his presentation, and it was good, and so I asked, I just have one question for you. So you're telling me that you can permit a new coal plant in this country today? And he said yes. So I've got that question out to the Department of Energy and EPA as we speak, and I'm waiting for a response.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Wintertime is always awesome at Ivory Jack's. Whether you ski up, arrive on dog sled, or snow machine, you're always welcome at Ivory Jack's with great weekend breakfasts with mimosas or their famous Bloody Marys. How about the perfect lunch or maybe a nice steak dinner? Swing out on the weekends to Ivory Jack's for live nightly entertainment. And there's always a game on the big screens. Plus free parking, always at Ivory Jack's. Whether it's your car, snow machine, or dog sled, Ivory Jack's in the heart of the beautiful Goldstream Valley.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Words are in great supply. There are so many words that it is sometimes difficult to choose one. Deep down, we know a single word can change a mind, a heart, even the history of your septic tank. Like procrastination, as in putting off pumping your septic tank. Don't do that. Regular septic tank pumping keeps me regular, and I last much longer. My family has Bigfoot Pumping and Thorn pump me out once a year, and I continue to serve them much better.
KFAR weather.
Highs level off around 1 above this afternoon under sunny skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 27 below. Highs level off around 15 below. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Click Bishop in the studio here with me. You're getting ready to leave. Now, here's my prediction. I have predictions. Prediction number one.
Let me write it down.
There's not going to be a special session. You're going to have the budget done in 121 days. Why? Because it's an election year.
Well, that's
my prediction.
That's, you've got a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Prediction number one. I mean, you're right. I mean, that lights a fire under people.
Yeah.
You know, to stay on task. There absolutely is no reason why you can't be done in 120 days. There's, you know, I've been there, right. What 6 years as commissioner and then 12 years plus in the Senate. I've been out of Juneau twice.
In the 120 days.
In 90 days.
Ah,
right.
Okay. Yeah. COVID was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So COVID proves that you can get out of town when you're up against it. You know, albeit we didn't pass a capital budget that year.
Yeah.
We did the bare bones minimum, just your federal match on your highways and aviation funds and some of your water sewer stuff, but we didn't really have a conversation on the capital budget. We got done in 62 days.
Ready for a phone call or two?
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Clint Bishop, and your name is?
My name is Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah, so I live in Senator Bishop's district. Unfortunately, I don't have any representation on a problem that he his staff promised to get dealt with this past summer. Okay? What I've got is a line of sight problem here along the Parks Highway that's existed for 14, 15 years since 2008 when since 2008 when I first moved in over here. I figured out there's a problem about 3 days after getting out here, and at first I thought it was speeding, but it turns out that the line of sight was what the problem was. DOT sent some people out here to cure it, and unfortunately they screwed up the job, and so I still have the line of sight problem, and I've been trying ever since then to get this corrected, and nothing ever happens. And your staff promised that you would be out here with somebody from DOT to come and look at the job and get the thing fixed.
That you're correct, and I've talked to DOT several times and forwarded your pictures. You sent some very good comprehensive pictures in, and I sent them into DOT, and I've talked to DOT several times about that, and so it's still an ongoing process, Bill.
Yes, it's a process that'll never get done before I leave here. I'm pretty well convinced. And furthermore, if you had any regard for human life, then it would be important to both you and the people at DOT to get off their fat behinds and kill this instead of just letting it drag on forever and hope that I'll go away.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to go away, Bill.
Bill, we're going to take another phone call. Thank you for the phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Clint Bishop, and your name is? Hello? Lost him. Anyway, well, again, hopefully you can get Bill taken care of there, too. And, you know, the DOT. Oh, my goodness. Good luck with that one, sir.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, in some defense of DOT.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have a 20-25% vacancy factor across 20 of all state agencies.
I was just going to bring that up.
So I met with DOT again this week, and Bill talks about, you know, Bill brings up a valid point, you know, and there's lots of valid points, but I'll give you an example. We have been cutting state government since Bill Walker was governor. Right, price mm-hmm. of oil crashed. Mm-hmm. We've been cutting state government. Governor Dunleavy comes in. He cuts $1 billion right out of the budget, right off the top. Of course, that didn't all stand. But my point is this on DOT. Let's just talk about DOT.
Mm-hmm.
They're understaffed.
Yep.
Right now, they have 62 vacant positions in Northern Region. Right? They had 62 open positions a year ago. The year before that, they were 72 open positions. Now, I'll leave you with this. So we've been cutting the budget. I had a motor fuel tax bill. I got beat up, you know, by my opponent several years ago. And our motor fuel tax has not been raised since 1970.
I was thinking 1972, but
1970,
I believe it.
Right?
Yeah.
And I had support of the trucking industry, Associated General Contractors, lots of support for that bill. It got all the way to the House floor and died, right? Because we have built how many new lane miles in this state since 1970?
All of them.
Right? And the M&O budget has stayed static. So leave you with this. I got a friend that lives in Healy. Healy used to have 8 maintenance workers, right, to go from Healy. I think they used to go clear down by Honolulu, going Great, south, yeah. And they come up to about Anderson, going north. They got 2 people in Healy. 2 people to cover that all those lane miles. It isn't getting better at DOT. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
And it's not the fault of the rank and file that's there. They do a good a job as they can with what they got to work with. We need to up their M&O budget.
Yeah.
Whether it's through a motor fuel tax or we just say, oh we're going to throw another $10 million of general funds in there to get you back to square one. And you know, today, last, I just like to say, I was driving around this morning getting some parts before I left. And I had the vibe of the pipeline again, right? Mm. Because we got all this work on the North Slope. I see Doyon pickups running around town buying parts. You know, you've got the pipe yard, the old pipe yard part of it. There's a big man camp over there. They're loading out skid camps to go to the slope. You go by the rail yard. Just look at the drill casing that's stacked up there.
Oh, yeah.
There's 5,000 VSMs going in just on the PICA project alone this winter. So I almost got to feel like, man, it's like 1974 all over again.
There we go.
But why would I want to run a motor grader for DOT at $25 an hour when I can go work out of the operating engineers and run it for $49 and change?
Yep.
The state is not competitive on their wages. So
we have the same thing at the city.
Yep.
And we're very fortunate. We get people to do that second shift for the snow plowing in city limits, but we're training them.
Right.
You know, they're not the experienced hands. So you're absolutely right.
But thank you. I want to thank you, Mayor, for what a great job you guys are doing on your snow removal here in Fairbanks.
Oh, thank you.
It's good, and I kudos to DOT, you know, for what they do for their snow removal. I've actually got people calling in my office saying DOT's doing a good job. So, you know, for the grief that they get, they're doing the best they can with what they got to work with.
Exactly right. We got about a minute left. How do you want to end it, sir?
I'd just like to thank you for always. It's always entertaining, and I'd just like to say your show's the only one that I'll do, and just because I enjoy you and I enjoy 660 and the history it's got with the interior of Alaska. And this radio station was the lifeline to the outside world during the flood in 67.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. So. Senator, thank you so much. I'd say enjoy yourself over the next 5 months, but maybe this gets through the next 5 months. How's that?
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Fairbanks, I will see you on Friday, and I'll have Representative Will Stapp on Friday. You have a great day.